William, what say you?
No, I have no comment to add at this time.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go to the gym and then myself, Gretchen.
Well, you know, let me give a different take on the issue of the relationship of programming to the bylaws. I was an elected member of a program council in the early 90s for 2 years. I was in New York. We had a structure which was members of the program council were elected from the staff, and they were a public affairs rep, an arts rep, and an at-large rep. I was the public affairs rep. And that structure actually existed in KPFK and in KPFA, except when the United Electrical Workers Union was consciously destroyed by Pat Scott at the time, the paid staff in Berkeley and in Los Angeles decided to jump from the United Electrical Workers Union and go with CWA or AFTRA, SAG, whatever they're now affiliated with, and they abandoned the unpaid staff. New York didn't do that, and that was a huge source of division in New York that persists to this day in the lineup of folks in the different factions in New York. It persists from, that's one of the causalities of it, going back to that period of time. Now, I think that the outcome of overthrowing the old board wanted to centralize all the programming. I have a different take than others. I was in the program council when they began to do that, when they decided they had $600,000 to set up Julian Malvoian and Amy Goodman in a strip show. And if they'd had a couple of million dollars, they would have set up about four or five strip shows in the morning and in the afternoon. They would have completely replaced the grid because their objective was to create aggregates of audience that would essentially allow them to have modularized programming throughout the system and knock out the eclecticism that existed in the local stations. And what the outcome of overthrowing them was to defend that eclecticism. And we actually did pretty well in the first 2 years after overthrowing them. I was up to 2003, 2004, five, that's when it started to decline. It was a big deficit in WBA, about $600,000. And that's when you start to see the downward trends. I just think that the issue of the programming was that they wanted to preserve the mixture of what had evolved in each of the stations. They were against the sort of using of strip programs, which Democracy Now! Was essentially, along with Julian Malveau, there were two shows that were evolved and, with that $600,000. And then, of course, we know Democracy Now! Ultimately broke off and created its own independent standard. It doesn't raise the same kind of money it did in the past, but that's a whole other discussion. The interrelationship of the programming with the bylaws is a very important issue because it was essentially kept out of the bylaws because people did not want to have a repeat of what happened beforehand, which was a board that could come in and, you know, evolve a national programming strategy, which they did, and then impose it from above on the entire system. That's what led to the rebellion. Now we're in a different kind of problem because the system didn't pay attention to programming ever since that period of time. Board members in 2001 to 2004, who were on the board at the national board at that time, I would ask them, you know, during that period of time, did you guys get any information about programming? What's your role? We're to be kept out of it. Because back then there actually was a increase in programming going on. The amount of people listening was actually recovering. The amount of money was recovering because of the success of overthrowing the people. But then it began to decline. And so the dilemma we had to this day is that the amount of people listening has declined to the point where it's the number I mentioned. And the power in the stations is, you know, basically groups of different producers who can exert their power through the LSBs. I mean, that's a fact. And then defend different countering visions of what radio or the functioning of the station should be. And they, I don't think they should clash. I think they should all get together and figure out a big tent to work under. That's my opinion. But unfortunately, it has devolved into very bitter internecine warfare to the point that we just saw what happened with the New Day stuff the past few years. And those guys aren't going away. They're here to stay. Their next objective with the elections is to take over the whole situation. So, you know, governance is interrelated to the programming issues quite intimately as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. So the other concern, the reason why I'm bringing this up as well, the other concern I had is because of the ammunition that Jen often reports on, is the ammunition from the CPB that we are overgoverned. If we continue in the same stead, we are going to continue to be overgoverned. Instead of making the necessary reforms or modifications that are necessary. And I think that's why I'm somewhat advocating for a bylaws amendment timeline to give our listeners, our stakeholders, the opportunity to see what they to see if they want to engage in this type of thing and see if there is a reason to reform and to take to heart what the CPB admonished us for in regards to restricting our funding and restricting getting CPB funding again and that kind of stuff. So that's why I'm asking the committee to consider putting together a working group to take this on. So I'll entertain any comments about that. And if we don't have any comments, then go ahead, Jim.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, Lawrence. Again, I just have to get back to the issue. You know, I don't think that us coming up with some new ways to minimize governance or, you know, deal with the CPB criticism is, I don't know if I'd want to put my energy into that because if we're able to come up with the applications in the spring, if we survive all these financial travails we're going through, they're going to be looking, at how many people we actually have listening in the different stations. Like, you know, right now in New York, it's around 80,000. I think, KPFT has improved its numbers. I saw numbers as high as 90,000 in the Nielsen Cumes. The case of Washington's about 80,000. Berkeley's about 80,000. Los Angeles hovers 60 to 70,000. But those numbers are, 2 to 3 times less than what they were, 20 years ago. So, they're going to look at us and say, well, wait, are you actually serving your community? And then you don't have cash reserves and you don't have this, you don't have that. So my concern right now is just to fiscally survive and really get out of this. And, you know, let's figure out how we can, you know, thrive, particularly since we all know that we're going to be in such rough times as a country in the next 2 years, especially if Trump gets reelected. I mean, my God, what a thought. But, you know, I just think that we got to really concentrate on that. And I hear you, Lawrence, about all this stuff, but there's parts of the mission statement we don't even do. We don't even do the arts part of the mission statement, really, in any kind of sufficient number. I'd like to, you know, I know in the programming committee we're talking about, you know, we're going to have a meeting this Saturday. All you guys are invited. We're going to be trying to rectify or talk about how to deal with the news programming. But that's just the start. We want to deal with the music programming, the public affairs programming. Public affairs programming generally throughout the system doesn't work well in terms of raising revenue. The music programming does, so there's a lot to learn from that. Arts programming doesn't exist except that could be enhanced. Spanish language programming, as I have said before, I'm part Cuban, part Spanish, so I have a particular interest to make sure that that works, but in certain situations it's not working. And training. We don't train. And governance, where's governance in the bylaws saying it's something mandatory that people that are going to go through some sort of production and radio training in order to go on the air? Imagine if that had been put into the bylaws in 2002, 2003 as part of the bylaws. I don't think we'd be in this kind of mess we're in right now. So those are the kind of things I just worry about, man, when we talk about this stuff.
Okay, whoa. But anyway, you definitely stimulated some folks, Jim. Thank you. James and then Richard.
While I'm listening to all of you and I've been trying to think about like how, and I was listening too, but I'm also like my brain's kind of running in the back. I'm trying to think of like, how can we, somehow stimulate our listenership? And if there's something in governance, and what I've often wondered is there's no kind of direct mechanism for the communities to have a say in the programming. It's sort of like, well, you can say it's very indirect through like donations, you know, on a particular time, and maybe that show will stay on the air. But if there was some kind of mechanism, for example, if listener members could put up a petition that says we want a show that covers this particular thing, and we'll pledge this amount of money, and if you had a certain level of listener members saying they would pledge to give this much more money if you had a show that covered this topic, you know, maybe that's a way, like a kind of thing that might work. And then it not only it empowers the community, which is, I think, in the end, that's what gets people to want to listen, is if they feel empowered, if they have a say in it. And so, anyway, that's just kind of a little brainstorm off the top of my head.
Thank you, Dan. Richard.
Passing quickly off of what Dingman said, I agree about the training. That's something I've always been surprised that we don't train anybody to do anything. Hence we lose people. Did I understand, the chair saying that you're thinking about putting together a subcommittee that would talk about or look at change or something? I don't think we need any more layers. You know, we don't need a group of people that don't have a defined reason to be out there wandering around. You know, if you give a person a pencil and a piece of paper, they feel obligated to write something on it. You know, just, I don't think we need more of that. I think as governance, we need to deal with problems that come to governance because they don't work. And we don't need another committee to talk to this committee to send it to the next committee. We don't need any more of that crap. You know, we really are over-governed, and the CPB is right about that. And if you add another layer, it's just more, you know, and we don't need more. Somewhere in there, people need to think about, this is for radio. It's not for meetings.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Jim, then myself. Jim, you have a hand up.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay.
Well, recently, I was going through, you know, various boxes I have about Pacifica, which, are quite substantial. I'd like to donate it to a library in New York, actually. And I came across this amazing document, which I will scan at some point and make available to everybody. And it's a reader of Pacifica history from its inception in 1946 to 1984. It was put together by, Goodman, the mother of, you know, Cherner, Swearner, you know, the unfortunate guys who were killed down there in the South during the Civil Rights Movement, Cherner, and Goodman and all that. And what it talks about is how this whole system has evolved. And one of the things that Otis sort of berated me about a few days ago when I was talking to him was, he said, you know, you gotta remember this is like, you know, community radio is community radio. I mean, that part of the component adds on in ways that, we do want funky kind of stuff. People like that. I mean, he was complaining about you guys down in Texas, Richard, saying basically, you know, why should, you know, let's start operating right now and have the ambient sound in the background, the noise of the hammers going. I said, well, okay, what the hell? That's a different way to look at it. But, you know, what the hell? But, you know, there's all these different elements that we embody. You know, I mean, you know, people on the ultra left, people, you know, in the moderate left, people on the left liberal side of the Democratic Party. And I don't buy all that nonsense about those guys in Berkeley being a bunch of Democrats. I've never bought that. You know, I have a different take on that, having dealt with the people at KPFA for a long time back in the 90s. But I could be wrong. But I just think that we have to take this opportunity as an opportunity to really pull together and think about our responsibility to the general public of this country and the world. And that means we got to put a lot of our bullshit differences aside and really try to, you know, communicate through the medium of radio, through the medium of audio, the drama that we're living through, and do it in a way that is not duplicable in the mainstream media. If we can figure something that out to make that really good, we won't be worrying about money. We'll be laughing our ways to the bank. And that, to me, is the formidable task to do in a short period of time. How do we do that? I sure as hell don't know. But that's what I'm committed to see happen.
Thank you, Jim. So, Richard is one person that obviously is going to be descending on my suggestion that we put together some kind of working group. I didn't say a subcommittee. I said a working group within this committee. And that's just an idea. It's not an ironclad commitment. But somewhere, things have to be vetted. I look at the takeover attempts that have been made on Pacifica since I've been around, and I've been around since the 90s when there was a bylaws committee at in the LA area, and there was a plan A and a plan B. I'm sure some people remember that. I thought that plan B was the way to go, and we ended up with plan A. But it has withstood the hostile takeover attempts. And Jim is right. There's probably going to be another one likely to come our way this year, right? So all I'm saying is something to consider is that the ammunition that came from the CPB was that we were overgoverned. And the way to stop being overgoverned is by cutting some of the governance structure. And I mean effectively, and I mean democratically, and I mean that we don't lose our sense of purpose, our commitment to the mission, and our principles. Because I think there's a lot of highly principled people, and then there's some people that will lean one side and won't lean to the other side. I'm one that I know that in order for anything to get done, you got to work with the other side, right? But that doesn't mean that I'm a, compromise my principles. The ones that come from my mother. So, in regards to that, I like us to consider, initiating, a new bylaws timeline proposal, bylaws proposal timeline, because it's something that normally comes out of the governance committee, but the governance committees, because of the way some of the referendums were postulated and were put in front of us, did not have the opportunities to address, a civilized, democratically centered, mission driven, principle driven bylaws amendment timeline. So, that's all I got to say about that. And I don't know if anybody wants to, consider, being on this working group, and an internal working group, if you will. But I'm not opposed to opening it up externally. And I know, Richard may be opposed to that because that's just another layer. But I think the reason why our listeners are so hesitant, because so many things and so many decisions are made, behind closed doors, away from the light of day, that, our listeners, get turned off by that. So I think that's something else to consider as well. So that's all I got to say about that. So where do we go from there? Go ahead, Jim, and Richard.
Well, I want to raise, I'm not trying to divert what you're talking about, Lawrence. I understand how you view it importantly. I want to raise some practical questions and get people's thoughts on this. We passed a motion in the board in February asking the, management of each station to supply us with the information as to fundraising and audience and Nielsen ratings that they possessed, going back as far as possible. Now, some situations, of course, are difficult. I'm well aware of, you know, for example, in Texas, the difficulty there. But part of the reasoning was to get information to allow the PNB and to share with the public, because I think what's important right now in this crisis is to really talk honestly to the public, which I believe Stephanie is willing to do and does when I've seen her in action, and tell them, you know, here's the dilemmas, here's the problems we're dealing with, what are your thoughts? And instead, I've gotten, you know, basically the ropey-dope for the past 5 months, in my opinion. And so I'm left with a situation where I'm thinking that the next step to go is to, you know, place reprimands in their personnel files and then consider it grounds for dismissal. Because the bylaws state very clearly that the directors, and we're only there for, you know, we're elected, we go back, you know, whatever. But while we're there, we have the responsibility for fiduciary stability of the whole network. That's our responsibility, and we share that with everybody else. So that's one dilemma. Another dilemma is, how do we deal with this question of a board or some, in my opinion, essentially acting to destroy another station? And I refer to the FCC petition by some in California from the Bay Area primarily, to essentially knock WBA out, take its license, its ability to broadcast. How do we deal with that? You know, how do we regard that? Again, they're motivated by at least I understand their motivation, is the question of money. The previous boards did not handle well over the past 20 years the whole question of the fiscal stability of the stations, in part because, as I said, they came into power based on local autonomy, we're not going to mess with the program, we think the programming is good, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, we see the results financially 20 years later. But how do we regard folks like that who want to basically consciously take away from the foundation a entity that's 40% of the value of all the signals? And we can argue about what the real value is. I say it's between 54 and 35 million. Others say it's down to 20 million. But that's a substantial hit. So how are we supposed to respond to people in governance who have a fiduciary responsibility who decide to initiate those kind of actions? I'm just curious what other people think about that.
Thank you, Jim. I see Richard's hand up, and then I'll put my hand up as well. Go ahead, Richard. And we have about... I think we set time certain for, what was it, 7:30? So it's almost 7 o'clock now. Go ahead, Richard.
We have a major percentage of people that they consider, what do they call themselves, New Day people. I voted against that myself and will again next time it rears its head. But I think that if you have a task force, one side or the other is going to hustle around and get on that. And then he'll sit there. And if it's whichever side it is going to say something against the other side. And if somebody comes along with a different plan and what's in the bylaws about a timeline, then it'll come out. I don't think we need to go hunting for noises in the night. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know what you could hunt for at night, but I'm sure that there's probably some good game out there. Anyway, in regards to the FCC matter and the petition to deny WBI, I agree with everything you said, Jim. But that is outrageous. That is detrimental to the foundation. And those people should be held accountable. And I would like, when I give the report tomorrow, I'd like to see to you, because we're in a new business, I'd like to see to you, report on what this committee thinks about, the FCC license denial of WBAI. And I may be a little biased because I did come out of WBAI because I am a New Yorker implanted here in La La Land. But I am a New Yorker and I always will be the Yankees tied the score against the Mets, so I'm happy. But the bottom line is that, I like to see to you, Jim, doing the governance committee report tomorrow night. To interject, something similar to what you said tonight. So I don't know if there's any objections to me ceding the floor to Jim tomorrow to, address this matter of the license denial to WBAI. And I'm also going to restate the communications motion in my report. So I'm just giving you a heads up on that. And I don't know where Jane went. But she looks like she's in Galveston. Is she in Galveston? Anyway, I see the beach. That's why I say Galveston.
Richard.
Richard.
Hold on, Richard. I have Christina Avalos. She hasn't spoken yet. Then I'll go to you.
Oh, Lauren. John, thank you. Lawrence, were you trying to get a group together to review or to assess the bylaws? Was that what you were proposing?
Assess developing a bylaws timeline. But there are some concerns. I hear Richard thinks that, that people will hustle to get on the committee. But this is an internal committee. I'm not opposed to opening it up, to, the public, especially listeners that are in good standing. Okay. Go ahead, Christina.
I would be interested to participate.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Jim.
Well, Lawrence, the problem with opening it up to listeners is that sort of gets into the kind of thing Richard says, because, you know, it's, we all know what could and probably would happen. You know, people have all sorts of ideas about changing the bylaws for their own purposes and interests and what their visions are. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, it of course it makes sense to think about ways to do things better and govern better. I certainly agree with that. But, you know, everybody, you know, my feeling sometimes is everybody, and the way the governance structure works in Pacifica is you have all these people who have been revolutionaries in the 60s, and now they have a chance to govern something, and they take all their ideas of governance that they haven't been able to actually put into practice in the society, and then they extend them into the Pacifica politics. And, and there's other things I've heard people say that are far more, flavorful, let's put it that way. So, you know, I don't know what to really say, man. I mean, it's like, you know, I hear you on that, but, you know, I just think we have so many pressing problems. I just, want to keep my energy focused in on those.
Okay. I respect what you said, Jim. I just think, I know as a young lord, I was a revolutionary in the 60s and 70s, and they accomplished a lot, in New York, as you know, Jim, to take over Lincoln Hospital, the sickle cell program, the coalescing with the Black Panther Party to feed the poor. Anyway, so this was a lot that came out of those wounds. And so I'm not a romantic when it comes to revolutionary politics. I try to put things concrete in action. So I think the sense that I'm getting from some on the committee is to have an internal committee. It seems like that's the most viable, and I know Richard doesn't like that, but it's okay. But have an internal committee to start taking a look at developing the bylaws timeline. I will come with a proposal. I will come with something concrete. Hopefully I could get that to Jane in a couple of weeks. Minerva, Jane, were you saying hello or did you want to say something?
No.
Are you in Galveston?
I wish I were in Mexico, but
okay.
I do agree with Richard, and I think this is something, I don't think we need another breakdown. I think we as a committee, this is what we should be addressing. And I think the prospect of you coming forward with a proposal is exactly what we should be doing. And that's exactly what all committee members should be committing to, is the work of this committee is done between the meetings. And then you come back. Sorry, I keep whacking my microphone. Sorry. And then you come back and say, look, this is what we found out, committee. Let's look at it and see what we want to propose to the entire PNB. So I'm just kind of thanking you and acknowledging you for taking the leadership role on that, because if there are changes to be made, this committee is the one to propose them. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. I know Richard for a long time, and I know a lot of Texas folks because I spent time there from both sides, you know, or from whatever side. And, you know, I've always had reverence for George Ryder and other folks from Texas, Wendy and other people. So I'm going to go to Minerva and then Jim, and then we'll so I'd like to echo what the secretary said, Jane said, that you don't need to just leave it up to me to come up with a proposal. But if you have any ideas you want to share as well, please share them. Don't be afraid. Minerva.
Yes. I was going to say that the part about inviting the community to take part in this, I think it would be, in essence, overwhelming for them, because there are so many issues. You might reach out to them in a survey or something to see what they feel they would like to see and use that information. But when you, as you said, everybody has an idea of what they want to see it look like. And with that survey, you can find out which things are common or what the majority is looking for. That's one way to do it. But I do think your idea of having an internal group is good. The only thing for me is that a lot of history and have some understanding about some of the things that should maybe be looked at for the bylaws. I right away perked up when you said the part about the programming piece and allowing the programming to be what the community or what our listeners want to hear, as opposed to someone saying, I know what's best for you, so I want you to listen to this. I think that's real important, and I think you would get, if you did a survey, a lot of listeners saying that. You know, there are a lot of different groups out there, and some of them would want to see themselves represented in the programming that's being provided in the areas. So that's my two cents, and I think it's a good idea to have some type of internal group. Thank you.
Thank you, Minerva. I will consider that a nickel. Go ahead, Jim. Thank you, Minerva.
Well, I was just going to say, Lawrence, if you piss Richard off too much, he might not let you come and eat that he might not let you eat that barbecue in Texas, Richard.
Well, I know other people in Texas.
So okay.
I'll get to that barbecue because I'm
all right.
There's a lot of barbecue in Texas.
Yeah, I know that. I'm always jealous of you down there in Texas. Anyway, no, the programming thing, you know, I know that, yes, and I agree with Jane, it should be between meetings because, you know, you can't, you know, it is too much to bring all that to one meeting and then whammo. But I do think, in fairness, it should have people from the different factions, et cetera. We all know who they are, and get them involved because, you know, it's just, I don't know, there's just too much, Machiavellian bullshit going on, and I just as soon avoid it right now because, again, as I say, and this sort of gets into what Minerva said, you know, I'd like to really, you know, some people would be shocked if they actually saw how people listen to the shows they like. It just is, it's quite mind-boggling to see these kind of statistics and data in front of you, and that I think should be shared with listeners in a very rapid and energetic and holistic sense now because, you know, we got it. I think we got it. We got about 6 or 7 months where we got to really be cooking and see a lot of positive turnaround in all these different stations. I think we can do it. What does hurt is all this internal division because it wastes energy. Basically, you have to deal with nihilistic negative energy. And, you know, I don't want, look, you know, I like to fight. I don't mind that. I enjoy that actually. But there's a limit to it, you know, like in, you know, we're not, what are you fighting about? We're fighting about making sure a incredible internal, alternative media institution survive, not to destroy itself. And so again, I just have to say, that's again my main focus.
Thank you, Jim. Gonna say something real quick. Now it looks like I'm gonna have a senior moment. But what I wanted to say was that with this common ground, then we should definitely all work together, right? For the good of the network. But then there's things that on principle I'm gonna stand on because that's the way my mother taught me. But you know, the whole idea of having an internal group was, as a result of the discussion, I met both Jim and Richard halfway, and I'm hoping that, and I think Minerva is right on too. I think she's willing to meet halfway. I want to go to, I'm going to call on some people that haven't spoken, because we're going to be ending the meeting soon. I want to go to Marisol Cruz, my colleague from KPFK. Marisol, is there anything you want to say about this?
Yeah, more than anything, I think the governance committee is about structure, creating that structure for the agenda. And if bylaws are to be explored, that is in line with the vision and mission of Pacifica. That's pretty much my take on it.
Thank you, Marisol. That's a little bit a lot. William, is there anything you want to add? And then I'm going to go to Violeta. Then I'll go to you, Richard. Hold on.
No, William, no, not at this time. Thanks.
Okay. How about you, Violeta?
Okay. Well, I'm hearing all of the arguments, and they do have merit. The main thing is being in compliance to be able to get monies. But if people aren't complying with it, the bylaws now, I don't know if changing them will help. But on the other side, if it's too cumbersome and some things need to be cleaned up, I think it would be best done through this committee.
Thank you, Violeta. Christina, is there anything you want to add?
No.
Okay.
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. How about Michael D.D.Y.? Anything you want to add, Michael? Michael D.D.Y.? I know it's getting late back east, so maybe he's probably been watching the Yankees. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, the Yankees need to watch out for the Astros.
Tell me about it.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I said something.
Is there anything you want to add, Michael? Hold on, Richard, please.
No, I was saying nothing to add, no.
Okay. Go ahead, Richard.
This is a kind of a change of subject back to something that you said earlier about the, I guess maybe Jim brought it up at first, about the complaint or whatever it would be called that was filed against renewing BAI's license. I agree. I think I heard y'all saying something about that seems to question the person who did its fiduciary responsibility. I don't know if it would be out of place for this committee to comment on that to the PNB, but if we decided it is, I will go along with that because I think that's way out of line myself too. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that vote of confidence for Jim, and I also have a vote of confidence for Jim, and I want to go around the queue to see what people think about me ceding the floor after I give my preliminary report to the PNB for Jim to address the FCC issue, and maybe James may want to address it too, because it is some of his colleagues from KPFA that filed an additional complaint. Go ahead, Minerva. You have your hand
okay,
up.
Okay, and I was going to just jump right out here on that. This statement that's just been made. I think that you are doing the correct thing, conceding some of your time to allow Jim to speak. And I agree with the other part where we talk about individuals being able to make statements that keep patients from moving forward as they're trying to rebuild and put together what they feel their community wants to hear and what they need. I don't think that individuals should be able, just an individual, to come out and and it have a major impact on the station's doing to try to, you know, bring itself together and unite its community and get its living space back. I think that's very wrong.
Thank you.
Amen.
Confidence. All right, Richard. Getting Baptist on us now. James McFadden, is there anything you want to add since it was some of your colleagues from KPFA that are pushing this?
Well, I'm just going to say I'm forward a motion, or as I sent it in, I don't know whether it'll get on the agenda for tomorrow, but I put forth a motion. I think the supporters of the petition, in particular, Chair Gendelman, for signing that petition, that is really so egregious, I think, to the foundation's interests. That, much like Goldmacher, who had to resign the PNB, I think something needs to be done. So this is a motion to, give a 30-day notice to both, Gendelman and to, Carol Wolfley, who wrote letters supporting the, petition to deny, for what happened in September. So I hope that motion is passed and, tomorrow and that we at least have a discussion about it. You know, I don't know whether they will get removed from the LSB, but at the very least, there ought to be a discussion of this kind of action, you know, and what and consequences for this kind of action.
Okay, so I think the way you can make sure it gets on the agenda is like we discussed today when we talked about what are some of the rules you could move to amend the agenda to submit your motion. So, Jim, is that what you wanted to share too?
Yeah, I just put up there the draft of a motion that has been argued about. James wrote it, and people can look at it. It has to do precisely with this issue.
Okay.
And, you know, again, I worked with Carol, for several years when she was the chair of the Community Advisory Board in Berkeley. And I also worked with, I was at that point the chair of the Community Advisory Board in New York. So I
just stay away from any disparaging remarks. Folks,
I know
you're not Jim Baptist.
No, I'm not.
Right,
I'm not at all.
Yeah.
it makes me very pained to have to get involved with this, period. I'm not making any disparaging remarks, and neither about Mr. Goldmacher, who I also work closely with. So it's just difficult to have to do this, I have to say, because, but I do feel that, it's just ridiculous. It really is. I mean, you know, like as much as, and I'm one of the big, you know, I'm pretty well known to be a critic of the programming at WBAI for a long time, but to actually put a stake in its heart, and it just is ridiculous. It just is complete nihilistic, destructive behavior as far as I'm concerned, and unnecessary. And I do feel that, if I had my mind, I would freely, I would put a motion here to take that entire group of that, a majority of the board out, because they have backed this. They have backed this, this entire, option for whatever reasons. I'm talking about 16 people. But I'm not asking that. That of course would cause a civil war. This may cause a civil war anyway. But, just that's my opinion.
Okay. Thank you. And, anything that is detrimental to the foundation and to any one of our entities, we are a sum total of all of our parts, right? And anything that's detrimental to any one of those parts, I definitely would stand against. So, I just wanted to make that comment. I think we're close to, we're at 8 minutes, before time certain. What's in the chat is, the motion that is going to be, proposed tomorrow at the PNB. Our next meeting is August 24th. I will work on developing a bylaws timeline proposal, to submit to the committee next week. I'll try to get it in early. This way we could, engage in a candid discussion about this issue. I will restate the motion that was passed at this, on this committee last year in regards to communication to our listeners. I'm going to report out, the two motions, and I'm going to cede the floor to Jim Digman, to report on his sentiment and his factual, remarks in regards to, the petition, to deny WBAI this FCC license. Jimmy, have your hand up?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Lawrence, I wouldn't mind reading this motion so people could hear it. I don't know if everybody's able to open it up.
Oh, go ahead, read it.
All right, so this is a motion drafted. The motion is to call a special meeting of the PNB to consider removal of Carol Wolfley and Cheryl Genneman from the KPFA LSB for their role in supporting the petition to deny WBAI its FCC license. Whereas Carol Wolfley and Sherry Gendelman are members of the KPFA LSB, whereas the KPFA LSB is part of the Pacifica Foundation, and under its bylaws, the activities and affairs of the foundation shall be conducted and all corporate powers shall be exercised by or under the direction of the board. Whereas corporate officers, directors, and delegates stand in a fiduciary relation to the corporation and its members and agree not only to affirmatively protect the interests of the corporation committed to their charge, but also to refrain from doing anything that would work injury to the corporation. And whereas Sherry Gendelman, by signing the petition to deny, played a leading role in a group of people who filed a petition to deny with the FCC, which seeks to either have the FCC deny the renewal of Pacific's license in New York, WBAI, or have it assessed a fine, or have it be granted a conditional renewal with a monitor overseeing content. Whereas Carol Wolfley wrote a letter to the FCC supporting the petition to deny WBAI its FCC license, and whereas both Sherry Gendelman and Carol Wolfley supported and argued in favor of an LSB, KPFA LSB motion supporting Donald Goldmacher in his efforts to elicit support for the petition to deny WBAI its FCC license, and whereas this petition is an existential threat not only to Pacifica's activities in New York, but its existence elsewhere, since it is a roadmap to attacks on Pacifica from its enemies without, and whereas defense of the petition may cost Pacifica tens of thousands of dollars better used for programming activities, whereas by acting in this matter, Carol Wolfley and Sharon Gendelman have breached their fiduciary duty to Pacifica and their duty of loyalty, making their continued presence at KPFA LSB meetings inimical to the best interests of the foundation, and whereas per the bylaws, 30 days notice is required prior to a vote for expulsion, it is hereby resolved in a special meeting on September 1st, 2022, that PNB will consider the removal of the KPFA LSB delegates Carol Wolfley and Sherry Gendelman as specified in the bylaws for conduct by the delegate that is specifically alleged in the petition, see as above whereas statements, to be adverse to the best interests of the foundation, namely signing and supporting of an FCC petition to deny the FCC license to the FCC, to BAI. That's the wording. I guess it'll be cleaned up, but that's the petition draft.
Thank you for reading that, Jim, for the record and for the stream. I see we have 5 minutes. I would entertain a motion to extend for 10, if that's so desired.
Move to 10 for 10.
All right. Are there any objections? All right, so we will end at 7:40, which is 10:40 Eastern, 8:40 Central. Richard.
I'd just like to say good luck on that motion.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I did email to the precedent setting resolution that passed in 2019 to the movers of this motion. So I will protest that with a reading of that motion. There is precedent, and the PNB does have standing to engage in correcting an action that is detrimental to the foundation. Anybody else want to comment before we adjourn? We did the stand for 10 minutes. Okay. Hearing none, we will convene on August the 24th at 5:30 Pacific, 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern. And I will get a draft together in regards to the bylaws amendment timeline. And thank you for reading the motion, Jim, for the stream. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Lawrence, I was sort of curious to see if we could actually vote on this and get a sense.
Oh, okay. You want to call for a vote?
Yeah, I'd like to call for a vote. Do people support this or not?
Okay. So there's a motion to support the motion that Jim put in the chat and that he just read. Are there any objections to this motion? Okay, hearing no objection, the motion passes by acclamation, Jim.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. I wanted to abstain.
Okay, Christine abstains. So are there any other abstentions or any no votes? All right, so report, Jim. One, I'm in favor of the motion. Jane, are you in favor of the motion? Jane, I'll come back to Jane.
Yeah, no, I'm right here. Yeah, I'm in favor. I think we can still pass it by acclamation, noting negatives, but I'm not positive.
I'd rather do a roll call if you don't mind.
Okay.
James McFadden, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the motion is to just have a hearing on this. It doesn't necessarily convict them. It's a notice motion. Mm-hmm. And, and I think this thing, this is serious enough that it should be discussed. And, I'm also in favor of removal, but, I think if we have, if this passes the committee, I think,
I would favor Jim Dimion making the motion or bringing up the motion during the meeting tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So that's, I would consider that as friendly, to the motion. Go ahead, Jane.
Information.
Go ahead, Jane.
So the governance committee is voting on the motion to endorse Mr. Dingman's proposed motion to the PMB. Am I right?
Right. To notice, the removal and charges on Cal Wolfley and Cherry. Yoletta, how did you vote, Yoletta?
I'm in favor.
Okay. Richard, how did you vote?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, Marisol, how did you vote?
Yeah.
William Headwagon, how did you vote? William?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Michael D.D. White, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
James McFadden, how do you vote?
Yes.
Minerva, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jane, how do you vote? Jane, you want to come back?
They're consulting.
Eight. Sorry, I muted my microphone.
It's okay.
Voting yes.
Thank you, Jane. And I think that covers everybody. I'll vote yes as well. Michael D.D. White, did I ask you, Michael? I'm sorry.
You asked me and I voted yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so, it's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yes, votes, 1 abstention, Jim, so you could add that as a part of your caveat.
Okay, cool.
All right. James, you still have your hand up? James, you still have your hand up? Is that as Judy would say, is that a legend hand? Oh. All right, you put this
sorry
hand
about
up.
That. Sorry, then there was another screen covering up my,
Okay. All right, so we are at, 10:33 Eastern time. We have 7 minutes because, doing the time extension, but that doesn't mean we have to stay for another 7 minutes. I will entertain a motion that there's no further business,
to adjourn
to August 24th at the same time on the same Zoom. Are there any objections, to adjourn? Okay. Christina gives a thumb up. Okay. We are adjourned. Good night, everyone. And I'll see some of you tomorrow.
Good night. Barnes?
Good night.
Barnes? Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everyone. God bless. I'm